Hi, I'm David Yak with Colorado Technology Consultants, and in this session we're going to talk about the link provider that's new with CRM 2011. In the past, developers used to have to build queries by using query expression, FXHML. Those were all supported techniques still. But the link provider is new. It actually came out first in CRM 4. There was a version released late in the process of CRM 4 that allowed developers to get started with it. And that continues on in CRM 2011 with a link provider built in as part of the SDK. The link provider provides an easy way for developers to not only query, but also can work with updating data. I'll talk a little bit about how it provides a layer of abstraction on top of the WCF interface as part of this session. The link provider is, or language integrated query, first came out in .NET as a way to query across objects. So if you look at or other things that were providers were created for, if you go back in time and you said, hey, I want to iterate through a list of people records, and they were in a database, you'd use one syntax for them. If they were in CRM, you'd use a query expression, the particular provider that was available for CRM. If you had those objects in memory, you would use maybe a for loop to be able to go through them. And the goal of link was to provide a consistent way of expressing that query, whether I was getting that from memory, whether I was getting from a database, from CRM, from SharePoint, down the list of any of the services that have a link provider that works with it. The link provider works with the common foundation of link to provide a consistent way of executing those queries. So when you express the query, what you're actually going to be doing is providing a query expression. That expression will be shipped or transformed into the native, in this case, a query expression that will run against CRM and pull the data back. It uses standard CLR type, so just like we saw with the WCF interface, we're going to actually be using the same, we'll either be working with the generic entity, where we're using the late bound approach, or we'll be using the generated types, and we'll be using the early bound approach, allowing us to have full IntelliSense, so when we type out a query, we'll be able to say contact.firstname equals Dave, and have that basically, translated into the query expression that gets shipped off to CRM that looks for Dave and returns back a contact, that record is then materialized as a record that we can then use. And we'll see examples of this as we get in. Link allows us to have, externalize this, allow it to work with additional, modern services, things like WCF data services or OData. All those need that query expression capability, the ability to express that query and ship that across and have that execute. Those all take advantage of the link provider as well and make that available. So some basics that we need to understand when working with the link provider. First of all, it is an abstraction layer on top of the WCF interface. So, I'll talk about this later. As we go, you don't have to, choose one or the other. You can use both. There's times that most of the time you may find that you're more comfortable and more productive working with the link provider abstraction layer because you're able to use the more expressive queries that are a little easier to read, and we'll see some examples of that as we get a little further in. When you're using this, just like we did with the WCF interface, when we talked about the early bound types, to be most productive, you're probably going to want to use CRM Service Utility to generate the types. The same types that are generated for WCF work with link, so once you've run that. There is a particular option that you need to specify, the service context name. If you don't specify that, then it doesn't generate the service context. And we'll see an example of that service context as we go through here. But the service context you can think of as kind of your gateway to work with that link provider. When you instantiate it, you're going to pass it an instance of the iOrganization service. So as you can see here, to get started with that. And so in this case, what I've done is I've used CRM Service Utility. I've specified CRM Data Context as the name of my context that I want generated. And so then in my code, what that does is in the generated code, I'm going to get an actual instance of that created. So I'll say new CRM Data Context. I'll pass my organization service instance to it. And at that point, I have a context that I can work with. That context has public queryable properties for each of the entity sets. And you'll see that come into play as we start doing queries against it. Any of them that you can just say context dot, and the name, and it will basically bring up a reference to that item or that entity, and you can perform a query against it. I can create records from it. So in this case, I have an example of where I'm getting my data context. I am creating a new instance of contact. that contact and then setting properties. So I'm just this is the same thing we do, as a matter of fact, up until this point, for initializing a contact entity. It would be the same whether I'm using the WCF or the link provider, would all be the same. The difference comes in the next line. Traditionally, with the WCF interface, you would simply call service.create and pass that instance to it. And immediately, it would go off to the server, execute that create, and that would be created in the CRM database. With the link provider, it works a little differently. So CRM, in this case, is our context that we generated. And what we're doing is we're saying add to contacts. There's an add to method, helper method, there for each of the entities that are defined in your CRM system at the time the CRM service utility ran and generated the code. So you'd have an add to account, and if you had a custom entity, it would be add to Contoso _ exercise equipment, and you'd pass the exercise equipment entity to it, and it would create that record. Now, where it also behaves a little differently. So unlike the create that immediately goes off to the CRM server and executes that create, the link provider, when you call the add method, just adds that to the context as a dirty record, a record that's flagged as needing to be processed or sent to the server at the time that we commit changes. We commit changes or tell the server to send, or the context to send those requests to the server by calling the save changes method. So if all I did in my code was create a bunch of contacts, do add to contacts on the context, and then quit the application, nothing would have ever been transmitted to the server. The save changes causes those requests to be packaged up, sent across to the server to be processed, and the create happens. So if I had done add to contacts 5 times, those would be packaged up as 5 interactions and go off to the server all at the same time that save was done. Querying data is also a little different. So I have a couple examples here, and we'll look at a few more examples in some code here in a second. The idea is there's a couple of ways that I can express the queries. The first one is using the method syntax. So what I'm doing here is I'm providing a method as well as a lambda expression. So I'm saying contacts. So remember I said that contacts are for each of the entities as a property on the context. So in this case I have CRM.contacts .first or default. What I'm doing is saying I want, so think of CRM.contacts as representing all contacts. You know, if you were to query against that, it's like basically saying select star from contacts in SQL. You know, the same limits of paging and things like that apply, but there's no criteria on it. What I'm doing is saying I want first or default. So that's a part of the query expression. So what I'm saying is I want to take the first, and if I don't find any that match, I want to have the default, in this case, a null value returned. I'm providing a lambda expression here. I'm saying C equals, and the greater than sign. What I'm doing is basically setting up so I can reference the context that's being processed by that. And I'm going to do evaluate C email equals David.Alexander at Contoso. And so that's my expression. That's my filter expression. It's going to run against each record. And that's actually going to be handed to the link provider. The link provider will turn that into a query expression that's basically going to say where email is equal to David, blah, 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 blah. And that query will run, return the results. It'll bring back the object. So that's one format of being able to do that. That's using the method syntax. The other one that we can do is the query at the bottom here where I'm saying from C and CRM.contacts. So again, I'm basically C represents my reference to each contact that I can do criteria against. Where C.email ends with Contoso. So what I'm doing is setting up a filter condition. I want to look for any records that have Contoso.com as part of the email suffix that's on there. And then I'm saying select C. So what I want to do is select those objects. Now, just because I've defined this query expression does not cause, it has not gone to the CRM server to run it when I hit that line of code in the execution. All that's doing is defining a query. In fact, you can actually compose these together, so I could write this, and then I could come along and add some additional things to that because the query hasn't been sent to the host. Now, what will cause the query to be sent to the host is the first time you touch the enumerator on that. So in this case, it's when we go through the for each loop. As it hits that, it's going to cause that query to be sent off to the CRM server. Now, the way link works when you're using the query expression syntax like this, ultimately, under the covers, it'll turn that around into method syntax. So if you were to actually compile some code, look at the query that was built, you'd see ultimately the generated code was just a bunch of dot methods that handed off to each other as they went through. So in this case, you'd see a dot where that would basically have that query expression as part of it. Let's just I want to show a couple other examples of different types of queries. The first one I'm going to show here is doing a join. So in this case, what we want to do is we want to query contacts, and we want to join to account. So we're using the join syntax here. So we're saying join A in context.account set. And from here, we're basically pulling in C.contactID equals the contact ID on the primary contact account relationship. Now, the equals is key. Anytime you're doing a join, you're going to need to use the equals in there. You'll also notice that we've got two wheres here, and that might look a little strange to start with. One of the requirements of the link provider is that anytime you're doing a join and doing criteria against multiple entities, you need to have a separate where. You can't combine the where clause with multiple entities, meaning I couldn't say up here A and C dot. And keep in mind, it'll let you write that. However, at execution time, you'll get a compile error if you try to do that. So you need to keep in mind, if you have a join, you have different entities. For each of these entities that you're doing, you need to have a where clause that expresses the criteria. You can also do that just for normal things. Even if I had two contacts, if you wanted to, it felt more comfortable, you could do the wheres. For each line, that's supported as well. The other thing you'll notice on here is the select. So if you recall, in our last one, we did a select C, and what that was going to do is give us the full object back. Another thing you can do is project or shape the results that you're getting back. So in this case, I'm saying select new. I'm not providing a type, so it's going to create an anonymous type that's local to my application here. That was a new feature of the languages that came out in the three versions of the languages, allowed me to do that. And so what I'm doing here is I'm creating a anonymous type that has two properties on it. One's account underscore name, the other is contact underscore name. And you'll notice I'm referencing the results from my join query above. So this is a good way if you're doing queries against a number of entities where you've done the joins, but you want to pull them back into a single object that just has certain fields on it that have been flattened out. If I had a class that represent that, instead of doing anonymous type, I could have said my class here and created a, the instance that it would create and populate it would have been of my specialized type that I had already provided. You can also use other methods, so there's a number of things that are helpful with link. This is an example of doing a query against contacts where selecting the last name and getting only the distinct ones from there. You can also use latebound types. Remember, one of the things I said is that you can combine or use the latebound types. You don't have to necessarily have a generated context. In that case, you're not going to have properties on the context. So there's not going to be a context.contact set that you can use. You're going to have to use the create query. And in fact, if you actually look at what this context set does, you'll notice it's just a of type iQueryable. And if we go into this definition on this, we'll see that what it's doing under the covers there is it's just kind of a helper property. And so it's iQueryable of contact, gives a name a contact set, and it's returning this.create query of contact. And so what that's going to do is equivalently the same as doing it latebound style, where I'm saying context.create query and giving it the name of the entity. And obviously, you could have constants for these or have them passed in, however it makes sense. But then when you're working with it, you're using the more generic style that you would with the property bag style with the latebound types, because you're just working with an entity at this point. So that's why they're saying name and using the index search to be able to get that. You can also do paging. So in this case, here's an example of I'm doing a query against contact where the last name is not equal to Parker, and the first name has an E as the character in it. And then we're ordering by middle name and first name, so you can have multiple order bys. And again, I'm basically, the key thing on here to do the paging is the skip and take. So in this case, I'm saying I want to skip 10, I want to take 10. So you can obviously figure out how that works. Is, you know, as you're going through your pages, you just keep incrementing the skip as you move through. And obviously, you can adjust your take size. Those do have to be multiples. There's a couple of things there that you want to pay attention to. The other thing that you want to look at, you might want to do from a query perspective, and I'll actually show you the differences because I think this drives home the conciseness and the value that the link provider helps with. In this case, we're providing some doing some intersected table queries. So the first thing I'll show you is basically the query expression. If you haven't worked with CRM prior versions, this may not look familiar, but this was one of the, there are two techniques that were supported in prior versions, the query expression and the fetch. The query expression is expressed through a series of objects that you build up. So in this case, we're saying we want to query against role. We want to go get the column's name from it. You use linked entities to express how this connects to other things. So here they're setting up linked entities and a new link entity to role that you're basically linking on role ID to the system user role. So you want to know what roles that that user is in. And then you're filtering on a specific user ID that's pulling in there. And so this is what you're going to build the query. This is the syntax that you would use, and then you call the retrieve multiple, passing that query to it. If we come down and look at the fetch is a XML-based representation of the query. Here we have a fetch XML defined inline in here. And so this is basically just saying similar type things. I want to go query the name, specifying the link entities, specifying the condition where the system user ID equals the user ID passed in. And that's passed off to the execute function to run the fetch XML. And then they're able to, in this case, you'll be able to parse through the results that come through there. And finally, the link one. So here's the link one that's provided. This basically does the same thing that we saw previously. So I'm creating my query against role. I'm joining to the system user roles on role ID equals the role ID, and I'm saying where the user ID is equal to, the system user ID is equal to the user ID passed in, and I want to order this by role and select just the name from there. I think it's clear from this, that, I mean, the link query is a lot more concise syntax. It's easy to read, easy to compose, and, you know, that results in you being a lot more productive. So I think you'll find that you'll spend a lot of the time doing your queries within there. Couple of things to keep in mind, transaction scope, you know, because the queries are batched together, so as you're going through and you say, in my example where I said add to account, and maybe add a contact, add a couple other records, and then I say save changes, that's not a transacted save changes. It will take related types, so if you package up an object, so let's say an account, and I put in related types, related entities, a few tasks, that will be done in one interaction with the server. But the best thing to assume here is that it is not transacted when you're using it. If you need deterministic transactions, meaning you always need it to happen, you're best to use some other approaches, for example, plugins or you know, some other ways of doing that to ensure that you always have a consistent transaction scope. Again, to wrap up here, the link provider, it provides an abstraction layer on top of the WCF interface. You don't have to choose one or the other. You can use both in different places. You can use them together in the same application. If you need to do something that's not provided by the link provider, you can always drop down to the service level interface. The link provider provides a little greater productivity oftentimes because of the way the queries are expressed. But can also be used equally as well to add and modify data in your application as well.